It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Under current Wisconsin law, unaccompanied minors have to get a parent's or legal guardian's consent in order to receive health or dental care. The law has exceptions for substance abuse treatment and reproductive care, excluding abortion. But it leaves out very basic medical care, like dental cleanings, annual physicals, vaccinations, even common illnesses like bronchitis and strep throat, which can become dangerous left untreated. This affects young people who are homeless, as well as some young people in the care of their grandparents or others who are not registered as legal guardians. Access to health care isn't the only problem homeless youth face in Wisconsin. State law dictates that shelters must reject homeless youth if they're unable to obtain consent from a parent or guardian within 12 hours, significantly shorter than the federally recommended 72 hours. This can leave young people out in the street. State lawmakers are considering bills aimed at helping address some of these problems. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Has youth homelessness affected you or your family? What do you think people misunderstand about this problem? Do you work with young people, maybe at a school or community group, and see some of these problems firsthand yourself? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You could also email ideas@WPR.org. Jolie Gunther is the executive director of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. Jolie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, I started off by talking about this issue of younger people needing parental consent, which in many circumstances might be just fine. But with the youth you work with, what kind of problems do you see arising?
Yeah, I think you hit it exactly by saying parental consent. In the situations that we're talking about, I think it's useful to just step back and think about what it means to be an unaccompanied minor as defined by federal statute, which is really what we reference in this legislation. And we really are talking about young people that do not have a parent or guardian that is accessible to provide consent for these services, and that have not been, for whatever reason, taken under the jurisdiction of Child Protective Services and are not under the jurisdiction of Juvenile Protective Services. So we really are talking about young people that, for whatever reason, are providing for their own needs and yet are unable to access the basic medical care that their dental or physical health professional is recommending.
Have we found ways to get medical care in those cases for that kid who doesn't have the situation where they can get consent from a parent or Child Protective Services or something like that? Or are they really just out of luck?
Right. They really are just out of luck. We have certain considerations within our existing Wisconsin statutes that you referenced during the introduction. So a young person who is over the age of 14 is able to receive medical care for substance abuse. They are also able to access reproductive care. And we do have some protections for situations that are considered to be life-threatening. So when they are considered to be an immediate threat to themselves or to others, then there is medical care that would be provided in that case. Beyond that, it really is a situation where a parent or guardian needs to consent for the most basic medical care. I have examples from discussion with communities across the state and from young people where a young person might be accessing shelter and that young person may be a parent themselves and able to consent for the care of their own child, and yet they're not able to do as much as just receive ibuprofen while they are in the medical care of the shelter. So they just can't consent to even the most basic care.
There was a recent investigation by the USA Today newspapers here in Wisconsin looking at this. They give some very basic examples, like if this kid who's maybe homeless, doesn't have that parent able to give consent, breaks an arm, right? Something you don't want to happen, but it's kind of routine. They literally can't get treatment for that?
Exactly. So there's no there's no provision for a minor to receive care for something that is not immediately life-threatening. So what happens within an emergency department is going to be determined within that department, but any ongoing care. So there's an example from the same reporter that was covered about a year ago of a young person who had broken a leg. The leg had healed badly. They were not under the care of CPS. They were not within the protection. They were not within the care of their legal guardian, their parent, and they were not able to receive ongoing care for this broken leg. They are going to have problems for the rest of their life with the way that their leg functions.
Talking to Jolie Gunther, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services, looking at some of the many challenges facing homeless young people or others without effective guardians who can sign a medical consent and other problems. You could join in with your response to this, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Julie, as I understand it, we're talking, I think, mainly about homeless and runaway youth here, but also this could affect someone who, say, grandparents are taking care of the kid, but they haven't gotten legal status as legal guardians yet. They may fall into the same problem, right?
Yeah, actually, our sponsoring senator, Senator Johnson, had the same sort of experience, which I think is what made her compassionate to this concern, where she was under the care of her grandparents. And the only care that she was able to access was to go through Planned Parenthood, again, because reproductive care is something that is available to young people in Wisconsin. But if somebody needs to access services through a free clinic or a sliding scale clinic, and this, again, as you said in the introduction, it could be anything from, you know, strep throat, a skin infection, things that happen when a young person is on the street, they cannot receive that care for that, which is not only a concern for themselves, but also really a public health issue.
We've mentioned a couple times this legislation aimed at changing some of this. Can you tell us what is in this this bill that would tackle these problems we're talking about?
Yeah, we really left the legislation deliberately very, very simple. And so there are the instances that we already referenced that are covered by other legislation related to substance abuse and reproductive care. This is really about staying out of the medical definition and simply allowing a minor to access medical, dental, and mental health care if they are defined as being unaccompanied. And that is a reference to the federal statute under McKinney-Vento, which is an unaccompanied minor. And in order to verify that, because, you know, this certainly should not be a situation where we are supporting the circumvention of parental control over minor care. This is really a situation of meeting basic medical needs. And so that certification would be provided by a school representative who is there to provide services to young people experiencing homelessness, or who is providing a shelter. So this could also be a representative from a shelter intake where a young person has access shelter to address their homelessness.
What kind of response have you gotten from the legislature, apart from the bill sponsors? Do you get the sense this is something that there's interest in taking action on? Not asking you to predict the future, but are you getting a good response?
So I think that's a really fair question. I have received compassion, I will say, from both sides, that it is, you know, it's inhumane for somebody to not be able to access just simply the care that they need and that is recommended by their physician. Speaking very candidly, I will say that we are in a potentially divisive time and that there are issues that people are not willing to consider whether or not they are written into the legislation. And so there are perceptions that because this would open the door for a young person to receive the care for their that is recommended by their physician, that this might also provide a circumvention that would lead to an influx of young people seeking gender-affirming care, which is certainly not what this is designed to be there to address. And there would be facets that would prevent that from happening. And it's not written into the legislation, but it's simply that that would not be a piece that is generally going to be covered, for example, under Medicaid.
Also wanted to ask about another issue that I mentioned at the outset. When it comes to young people, again, who might have difficulty getting this parental consent, being able to get into a shelter, a homeless shelter, for example, what is the situation there?
So Wisconsin has a state statute 48.227 that if a young person accesses shelter, the shelter needs to obtain parental consent within 12 hours in order to continue to provide services. At that point, there is a provision under the statute for the shelter to provide a report to juvenile intake and state that they are not able to obtain parental consent. If we have a family that for whatever reason is not likely to want to work with CPS, that young person sometimes chooses to exit the shelter rather than to make a formal report at that point. And unfortunately, what that leads to is circumstances where being unable to continue to maintain shelter, that young person is often forced to exit to a situation that is simply not safe. Again, just speaking very candidly, there can be situations where a young person leaves, goes to access public transportation. People who are likely to exploit and to potentially traffic minors will wait, knowing that they've been in contact with this young person and that this young person is in a very tenuous situation, and will take advantage of that situation, leading to worse outcomes.
Jolie Gunther is with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. She's talking with us about a bill in the state legislature that would make it easier for unaccompanied minors to access health care, other legislation aimed at helping them access shelter. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions for our guest? Do you work with unaccompanied minors? Have you dealt with youth homelessness in your own life, in your own family? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about youth homelessness here in Wisconsin, challenges under state law limiting access to health care and to shelter in some cases. Jolie Gunther is with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. You could join in at 800-642-1234. You could join in with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your own experiences at 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to a caller now. Elliot joins us in Rock County. Elliot, hi.
Hi, I'm really, thank you for this conversation. It's very interesting. And I am an educator myself. And I guess what I wanted to ask was, this really is very confusing to me. I don't have children myself, but I just want to know, what would motivate the creation of, regulations or laws that require minors to have consent from their parents to even access health care? Or what's the history of that?
Elliot, thanks a lot for the call. Do you have some of that kind of deeper background on that, Jolie?
I really don't have why it was there in the first place, only that is our existing legislation. And so I know that, we have the history where at some point in time we introduced these abilities that are exceptions to the legislation that essentially requires that in order to access care, minors need to have parental permission. And we all see that if we go into an office for a visit, that the parent is there providing that permission for a minor at that time, or that they are seeking that prior to providing care. So I really don't have the specific background on when that was implemented. However, I can say that we are different from far more than the majority of states. So Minnesota and Illinois, our neighbors, also have legislation that permits access, and actually 34 states in the country do. So Wisconsin is an outlier in that respect. Certainly there is a recognition of an importance of parental rights in Wisconsin. However, this is really not about circumventing parental rights. This is really simply, it is for the good of everybody that our minors receive basic health care. And if for whatever reason a young person is experiencing homelessness and their parent or legal guardian is not available and will not consent to care, and we have not screened this young person in for greater levels of protection, then we have a human obligation to ensure that they're able to just access basic medical care. It's dehumanizing to not do so.
Elliot, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. I want to ask about wider issues, Jolie, when it comes to youth homelessness in Wisconsin. First of all, do we have a solid notion of how many kids are living homeless and without an adult in their life?
Absolutely. So there are different ways that we count and look at this, and different systems of data. The one that we are going to rely on primarily for identifying youth who would fall under this is going to be that of the public school system. And so public school districts operate under federal legislation, which is McKinney-Vento Education of Homeless Children and Youth. And as a piece of that legislation, they are required to work to identify young people experiencing homelessness within their school district. Within those counts each year, using the definitions of homelessness under McKinney-Vento, the larger number is around 20,000 a year. It goes up and down a little bit on each side of that. Those are not all young people that would be eligible for this. We are talking about approximately 2,000 per year who fall into the definition of unaccompanied youth. So it is a fraction of children and youth who are experiencing homelessness that have been identified within the school system. To some extent, that number does also represent an underrepresentation. So because it's hard to recognize homelessness in some instances, or because school districts do not receive additional funding to do this and to provide services, we don't capture every count. Additionally, the larger number represents a different view of homelessness than people sometimes think about. So things like doubled up in circumstances that are not sufficient to support a young person in their education, or trying to be housed in a hotel, which again doesn't provide just the facilities, you know, to do laundry and to prepare meals that a young person needs in order to continue their education. Those are considered homeless under McKinney-Vento as well. But an unaccompanied youth is one who does not have a parent or legal guardian with them and is experiencing those circumstances, or more strictly circumstances that we might traditionally think of, like on the street or in a car. That sort of thing.
Jolie Gunther is with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. Let's go back to another caller now. Oop, they're not quite ready now. So in the meantime, Jolie, I will ask you, what are some of the causes of young people becoming unaccompanied homeless youth? What is the story behind them ending up in that situation?
Yeah, you know, all of the things that we're experiencing as a society certainly can contribute to that. So anything that is happening in the home or with the young person can certainly lead to it being harder for the young person to be in the home, everything from substances to mental health. But there can also be situations in the home that are not bearable, where we have circumstances of abuse, or even circumstances where the young person is being exploited in the home that they are living in. Also, though, I don't think that we can discount just the rising cost of living and the sometimes resourcefulness of young people that is also recognized by families. So I have heard very clear examples of somebody that was in high school and their family lost their housing. And as they worked to, as the family worked to find new housing or to double up, that young person essentially was pushed out for financial reasons because the family was not able to sustain themselves. So really any circumstance that can lead to crisis or that can lead to homelessness is going to impact people who are at a transitional age even more deeply.
We've got that caller ready to go. Sheila is with us in Madison. Sheila, hi.
Hi. I was just wondering, so I work in the schools. I'm a school nurse. I was just kind of wondering if a parent or the person who's accompanying a youth that's homeless agrees, what are the barriers to getting it so that the school can help take a kid to the doctor if they feel they really need to be seen at a doctor's office without the parent? Because it seems like we have to rely on parents, and if parents are dealing with their own mental health issues or homeless or lack transportation, it always is a barrier to get them seen by the doctor, even though they have medical assistance and all the insurance.
Sheila, thanks a lot for the call. Jolie, what role can schools play in helping connect that kid with medical care with or without the parents' consent in this situation?
Right. So obviously, again, without parental consent, we're not able to work with that situation. But I love the question that you're asking, Sheila. And I will share that that's like really advocacy at the very, very basic grassroots level that I've talked with agencies and people providing services like you. And it really has taken the right provider and the right documentation. And so there isn't a formal process. This could be an ongoing concern that we could bring forward at a legislative level, but that in some instances we're able to get there by finding the right provider to work with, by doing the conversations ahead of time, and then by providing whatever documentation we can work with. So it could be something like a template and a known provider that might allow for the youth to access services. Because in that case, there's not a legal barrier to the young person receiving the services, but there can certainly be procedural barriers.
Sheila, thanks for that call. In just our last minute or so, Jolie, apart from the bills we've talked about, is there something else that you have on your priority list that could help unaccompanied minors, homeless youth in Wisconsin?
Oh, I appreciate that so much. Thank you. So another piece that I think I led to a little bit earlier that has been introduced in legislation is AB 48 SB 51, which is making it illegal to charge minors with prostitution. So I referenced the concerns related to trafficking and exploitation that really are often a very close second to what young people experience as they enter and remain in homelessness. What this bill would do is make it illegal to charge a minor with prostitution, which would increase the likelihood that they would work with law enforcement and lead to prosecution of the actual creators of the crime. And we do have this legislation again in neighboring states, and it has led to an increase in prosecution. It has bipartisan support, and it is currently stalled in committee. And I have hopes that we can continue this conversation and move this forward.
Jolie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to be here.
Jolie Gunther is the executive director of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. She talked to us about the state of youth homelessness in Wisconsin, including a bill that would make it easier for unaccompanied minors to access basic health care. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.